From Clocher Valley in County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us as Gospel Minister the Reverend Peter McIntyre is here to let the Bible speak and preach Christ in all His fullness.
Good afternoon, you're very welcome to the Wednesday edition of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes we'll turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Before that, I'd like to play you an excerpt from the Reverend Tom Martin's testimony. And in this excerpt, he tells us what happened in the prison cell the night he was converted. If you would like a full copy of the Reverend Martin's testimony on CD, please get in touch with me after the program or write, and we'll gladly send you a free copy.
It was the 13th of June, 1983. I lifted a little booklet that was given to me. It's a book by the evangelist Noel Grant. I'm sure you've heard of him. And Noel Grant had written a little booklet called Let Him In. And I knew that night that for 21 years of my life, I had kept the door closed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had never let Him into my heart, never accept Him into my life. Well, that's how I felt. I read the little booklet. I came under conviction for sin. And just lying there on the top bunk, there was another prisoner below me. And just in the confines of my own heart, I simply followed the prayer that was written in that little booklet. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to come into my life. I told Him I was sorry for my sin, and I received Him by faith into my heart. Now let me tell you something, there was no great blinding light. The prison doors and bars didn't all shake and that door fly open and the bars crumble. But I knew within my heart something had happened to me. And I knew full well that I had been saved. And you say, preacher, how did you know that? And I say to you that the Spirit of God bore witness with my own spirit that I was a child of God. That night, the burden of my sin, the whole guilt of that sin, rolled away. It was gone. And let me tell you something. I had a peace in its place that passes all understanding. I couldn't describe it to you. I had a joy that was full and unspeakable.
This afternoon we're reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We're commencing at the first verse. And you, the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, in His kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. This afternoon I would like you to think about the first 12 of Ephesians chapter 2. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. A number of years ago, Harry Ironside, the famous Bible teacher, was on a train transporting him to a preaching engagement in Southern California. He was approached by a gypsy woman, who asked the simple question, "How do you do?" She then went on to say, "Would you like to have your fortune told? Cross my palm with a silver quarter, and I will give you your past, present, and future." Dr. Ironside replied with the question, "How are you sure you can do that?" You see, I am of Scottish ancestry, and I would not want to part with silver without getting full value for it. Earnestly, the gypsy said to him, "Oh yes, gentleman, please, I will tell you everything." Ironside went to his pocket, and instead of producing the silver quarter, he produced his New Testament. "It is not really necessary for me to have you tell my future, because here I have a book that gives me my past, present, and future. Let me read it to you." He proceeded to read her the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 2. He talked to her about how he was a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, how he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. He was a child of wrath, as every man and every woman is a child of wrath. The woman tried to get away, discovering that she had encountered one who was giving her a message she did not like, instead of one who would give her his money. But the preacher said, "Please wait, I have more to share with you. Here is my present. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." And he proceeded to tell her about the cross, how Christ had died for him, how he knew he was forgiven, how he had received the mercy of the Lord. He gave her his testimony. By this time, the gypsy was about to run, but Ironside quickly said, "I'm going to give you my future now, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For all eternity I will magnify the grace of God. I'll be in glory." The woman was by this time on her feet, and quickly she scurried down the aisle, and as she went she muttered, "I took the wrong man that time." It is important for every Christian to remember what he was before he was saved, or what she was before she was a Christian. This is vital, because we need to realize, as Christians, what God has done for us. And if you are not a Christian today, it's important that you realize that you're a sinner, that you are lost, in order that you might cry unto God for mercy. You must see your need before you can be a Christian, just as the person who's ill must feel their sickness before they run to the doctor. What were these Ephesian people before they were saved? Paul said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Firstly, these people were without Christ at one time. This is a great division in the world. Some people think that the world is divided according to various religions, according to various races, according to various cultures, according to various nations, according to various continents. God sees no such division. He is not so much interested in the racial division or in the geographical divisions that are in the world. God is only interested in this spiritual division. Some people are without Christ and some people are in Christ. Some have Christ and some are without Christ. On what side of this divide are you today? Paul goes on to explain what it is to be without Christ. He uses this phrase, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, an alien is a foreigner. Paul is saying, at one time you were foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel. A commonwealth is a society of people. And Paul is saying to these Ephesian people, when you were without Christ, you were foreigners to the society of Israel. In Old Testament times, if one was to know God, that person had to be a Jew. God had a special interest in the Jewish people, and unless one belonged to the children of Abraham, that person could not know God. In this New Testament age, if you are to know God, you don't need to be a Jew, but you do need to belong to the Church of Christ. Now, what is the Church of Christ? The Church of Christ is not any one particular denomination. Denominations are not the Church of Christ. They represent portions of the Church of Christ, but they're not the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is not one particular denomination. It consists of all of God's people from every church. Now, if you're a member of a church, that does not mean to say that you belong to the Church of Christ. You may have filled in your membership card, you may attend a place of worship, you may take communion there, but that does not mean to say you are a member of the Church of Christ. Belonging to the church is not about what you do. It's not about your good works. It's not about your family affiliation or connections. to be a member of the Church of Christ, you need to be born again of God's Spirit. Because the church consists not of bricks or mortar. Some people think that the church is the building, that there's something sacred in a building made of stone. But according to the New Testament, the church is not the building. The church consists of the people. And every person who is saved is a stone, the Apostle Peter tells us, in God's building. And it is so important today that you, yourself, personally and individually, are a member of the church, which is the body of Christ. And if you're not a member of that body, if you're not washed in Christ's blood, then you're not in the church. You're a foreigner from the Commonwealth of Israel, which is the people of God. And then Paul goes on to say that these Ephesian people, at one time, they were strangers from the covenants of promise. A Jew in ancient times was a person who had received certain promises. A Christian, you see, is someone who has received the promises of God. God makes certain promises to his people. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He has said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. But if you're not saved today, you cannot share those promises. You look into life without an anchor for your soul. And the anchor can only be the promises of God's word that never change. To be without Christ also is to have no hope. William Wordsworth, the poet, thought long and hard about life. And he listened for a sound that could characterize mankind. He did not hear laughter. He did not hear music. He did not hear dancing. All he could hear was what he called the still, sad music of humanity. William Wordsworth was not a pessimist. He was a realist. And the Bible is the most realistic book available. And in this book we discover that man without God has no hope. Paul goes on to say that a man who is without Christ does not just have any hope, he also is without God in the world. To be in the world without God. You see, the unsaved person does not know God. He does not enjoy the presence of God. He does not experience the comfort of God. He is left alone in a hopeless world without God. The Christian's experience is different. David said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He knew that if everyone else failed him in life, he would have the Lord by his side. Everyone and everything can fail you, my dear unsaved friend today. And yet, you have no God. You have no Savior to cry to. You have no help. You're without God in the world. And the world is such a harsh place. It's such a difficult place. And yet you're without God. Perhaps you've been there. You're in the valley. You're in the place of despair. You don't know where to turn. I would ask you today, turn to the Lord. You need this hope. And you need this God to be your God. I would urge you to do this. Thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you would like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Welland Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. That's Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Peter McIntyre, 13 Welland Crescent, 5 Mile Town, County Tyrone, BT75OQL. You may hear Mr. McIntyre preach each Lord's Day here in Clocher Valley Free Presbyterian Church at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8952-1611. 028-8952-1611. We assure you of a very warm welcome at all the services and look forward to having you visit with us. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord richly bless you. And don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week when once again we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.